seated. God, if we just took time to sit down and think about all of the blessings that you have poured into our lives, all the ways that you have blessed us in undeserved ways even, I would expect that we could count them all day long. And instead of going around thinking about what we don't have or what we wish we were or would become, if we could just focus on what you've already done for us, how you've already blessed us, I'm guessing our reaction would be praise, that we would worship you as a response, not just to your majesty, but as a response to the blessings you've poured out into our lives. God, we do come to worship you today. And I pray that as we do, you will receive it gladly, and it will be a blessing to you. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Wow, what a week we've had of Vacation Bible School. I think some of us, some of our volunteers need a nap. Maybe they took one all day yesterday. What a week we've had, though. You know, this year going into Vacation Bible School, we didn't really know what to expect because we're down a building. Our children's building is closed for renovation, and we're getting ready to have Vacation Bible School. And so I want to commend, first of all, Joyce and David and John and our whole facilities team for the way that they got together and they spent a lot of time trying to figure out how can we possibly make this work. But what we didn't anticipate is that we would have perhaps the largest crowd we've ever had for Vacation Bible School. There were kids everywhere. More than 500 children signed up to be galactic starveyors, searching the universe and the scriptures to learn more about God, about this world that God has made, and about how we fit into it. And so throughout the week, we sang a lot of fun songs. You're going to see some of those in just a few minutes. We played some great games. We did some cool crafts that you can see out in the lobby area. But most importantly, we studied the Bible and saw what God wanted to say to us about this world and about Him and about His love for us. Now, all throughout the week, we focused every day, built things around a motto that we said together every day. So kids, I know you're all over the place this morning, and usually you're all kind of crowded right into here, but we're going to do the motto together. I want to do it just the way that we practiced it. Are you ready? All right. You remember how we practiced it? All right. Let's try it. You ready? One, two, three. It's a lot louder when there are 500 and something of them here. In fact, several of the adults sit like this while the kids are practicing their motto. Well, on the first day of Vacation Bible School, we talked about how the God who made the universe made us, and that God loves us, and how amazing it is that the creator of the universe wants to have a relationship with us. On the second day, we began to consider some how this relationship began to break down. Sin entered the world. Sin messed everything up. And this perfect world that God created became marred by sin. It became a difficult place. But even though we've messed up, even though we've all sinned, God loves us. And God is still powerful in this world. The focus of day three was on some great news. God sent His Son Jesus to be the Savior of the world. Even before Jesus was born in Bethlehem, God sent this message to Joseph. God said, she, speaking of Mary, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Now, Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua, which means the Lord saves. You will give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And then this led us to day four when we learned that Jesus gave his life to be our Savior. Jesus was more than a good person. Jesus was more than a great teacher or a miracle worker. Jesus was the Savior of the world. Even in Matthew 20, Jesus said himself, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And then finally, on day five, we celebrated knowing that God is our helper. And even though we're still going to mess up, God will always love us and God will never leave us. We learned so much along the way. And I'm so thankful for all that happened during Vacation Bible School. I'm thankful for all of the children who were part of this, for more than 500 children who were part of this week of Vacation Bible School. I'm certainly grateful for parents and grandparents who brought their grandchildren and their children to be part of this every day. And boy, are we ever thankful for the more than 150 volunteers who ran Vacation Bible School. Can you imagine? More than 150 folks showed up every day with passion, with enthusiasm, with more energy perhaps toward the beginning of the week than the end, frankly. But they gave, they took vacation time and did all kinds of things in order to make this the best week of the summer for those 500 children. And I tell you one other thing. This is probably the only church in town that has a disco ball. I'm going out there on a limb, but I'm just thinking that might be true. Well, in just a few minutes, I'm going to come and talk to you some more about what we learned during Vacation Bible School, because we're not done learning yet.
It's show time, gotta go time, way out to where the lights are low. Prepare to be surprised, and you'll be wide-eyed. It's gonna light up like a fireworks show. In the backyard, looking through the telescope, we're seeing things so far beyond the world.
Listen to what the psalmist declared. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard yet. Their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world. You know, when you and I go outside, at night, especially, we look up at the stars in the sky. We're seeing a message about this powerful creator God. The Bible begins with the words, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." God created the heavens and the earth. Just think how vast that is. How incredible the complexity of it all is. God put it together. You and I realize even as at night as we go out and we look up at the sky, we're only seeing a piece of everything there is to see. We can't see it all. David Block, an astronomer, said that if you and I were to count one star every second, one, two, three, four, five, if we were to count a star every second, it would take 2,500 years to count them all. And that's just the stars in our galaxy. Not anything beyond. This is just an incredible world that God created, that God made for us. Our universe is so big that we don't even know how big it is. Astronomers and scientists keep inventing more powerful telescopes in different ways to see farther than we've ever seen, but we have not seen everything there is yet. It's so big out there that we can't measure it in terms of feet or miles. We measure it in terms of the speed of light. Now, just to refresh your course from when you were in school, how fast does light move? 186,000 miles per second, right? So what that means, this is where we live. I think we've got a picture of, do we have that picture? This is where we live. This is Earth. The circumference at the equator, the circumference of Earth is about 25,000 miles, just under that. So if an object were traveling at the speed of light, it would go around the Earth 7.5 times every second. But we can't even measure the universe in terms of segments of 186,000 miles. It's too big for that. And so we measure it in terms of light years, the speed of light traveling at 186,000 miles per second, 24 hours a day, for 365 days. That's about 5.9 trillion miles. This is how we measure things in the vastness of space. Now, you might wonder, this is where we live, Earth. How significant is Earth in regard to this Milky Way galaxy? We live in the Milky Way galaxy. The Milky Way galaxy is approximately 100 to 120,000 light years across. So how much of that do we make up? Well, let's see if we can put this in a way that you and I can understand. If we think of just the Milky Way galaxy, not the entire universe, but just the Milky Way galaxy as being the size of the North American continent, the size of our entire solar system, the sun, the stars, all of the planets, the size of our solar system in that, no, go back one. We're too far ahead. If you can go back, can you go back? The size of our solar system in this Milky Way galaxy is the size of a quarter. So if you were to leave today and you go out, you sit a quarter down on the parking lot, that is our solar system. The entire thing, not just in relation to the Milky Way galaxy as the parking lot, no. In relation to the Milky Way galaxy as North America. This is how vast our universe is. And this is just one of the galaxies. It's just ours. Now, at the center of our solar system is the sun. We had that up just a minute ago. Oh, back another one. Is the sun, this flaming ball of fire that sits 93 million miles away from Earth. But if you think that's a long way, then there's this planet that we put up just a second ago. This next planet, that's Neptune. Neptune is 30 times farther from the sun than Earth is. Now, if you're going to Neptune, I'd recommend that you take a coat. It gets a little chilly out there. This is an amazing, complex solar system. How amazing is this universe that God has created? Well, earlier this week, I jumped on the website for the Hubble Telescope. And there's some incredible images on the Hubble Telescope site that the Hubble has captured throughout as it journeys around space. For example, look at this one. This is the Crab Nebula. It's 6,500 light years from Earth. At the center of the Crab Nebula is this neutron star that rotates once every 33 milliseconds. It's like this lighthouse, the light at the top of a lighthouse, if it were going crazy, crazy fast. For the last picture I want to show you right now, let's go on a little bit out. Let's go on out to 30 million light years away from Earth. And this is called the Whirlpool Galaxy. Scientists called it that because that's kind of what it looks like, right? It's a spiral galaxy. You see the arms going out, so it looks kind of like a whirlpool. This is some 30 million light years away from us. Scientists have started studying this, and they love to study this Whirlpool Galaxy because of the way it's angled toward Earth. You can see into it the way you can. And they've been studying it to discover, for example, how are new stars formed? And so they've developed this fascination with the Whirlpool Galaxy. And so you look at that, and you go through the Hubble site, and you look at all of these pictures. You look up at the sky, And you think how amazing it is that God created this. That God created all of this. In the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, it says that God measures the universe between his thumb and little finger. That's how powerful and awesome our God is. Later in the book of Isaiah, it says, God says this, "To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all of these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and his mighty strength, not one of them is missing." Our God is amazing. And perhaps the most amazing thing of it all is that not only did God create the universe, but God created us. And God loves us. In Ephesians 1:4, the Bible tells us long before he laid down the earth's foundations, God had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. God made human beings, people like you and me, to be the focal point of his love. God wants us to live in a love relationship with him forever. But as we learned in Vacation Bible School this week, sin messed everything up. And this perfect world that God created to be the habitation of humanity, the people that what he loves most, became marred by sin and anger and rebellion. In our lives, in our own lives, because of our sin, we've separated ourselves from God. But God didn't want our story to end that way. And so as we learned earlier this week, God sent his son Jesus Christ into the world. Jesus lived the perfect life that you and I could never live. And then Jesus died the death that we deserve for us. He died on the cross to take away all of our sin and all of our rebellion. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Bible says, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." And even though we've messed up, God wanted to provide us a way back to him. Even though we've separated ourselves from him, God wanted to provide a means by which we could come home. And the cross of Jesus Christ operates sort of as a bridge to get us from where we are to where God is. Now, our children this week learn that accepting that gift of forgiveness, coming back into relationship with God, is as simple as ABC. First, A, admit to God that you're a sinner. Own up to the fact that we've blown it. Own up to the fact that we've all messed up, that we've all fallen short of not only God's expectations, we've even fallen short of our own. Admit that you're a sinner. B, believe that Jesus is God's son and accept God's gift of forgiveness of sin. Believe that Jesus is who he said he was, the Savior of the world. Believe that he did what the Bible says that he did. He took our sin upon himself and he died the death we deserve. Ask God, through the cross of Jesus Christ, by his grace, for forgiveness of sin. And then finally, C, confess your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Let it be known that you've turned a corner, that you've made a step in your life that's this important. The God who made everything made you. The God who made you loves you and wants to have a relationship with you and has come a long way to make that happen. But so forgiveness is possible, but it's not automatic. And so maybe we ought to add a D to those ABCs, and the D is to decide. Because nothing great happens in life before we make a decision. Nothing happens before we make a commitment. Would you decide today to follow Jesus? Would you decide to become part of a church family? Would you decide that today? Now, there's one more image I want to show you from the Hubble before our children come back and sing once more. Remember in Psalm 19, I read that for you just a few minutes ago, what Psalm 19 told us? The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make him known. They speak without a sound or a word. Their voice is never heard, and yet their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world. Listen, you remember 30 million light years away from us is the Whirlpool Galaxy. All right, the Hubble took an incredible picture of that. And then at the center of the Whirlpool Galaxy is this. 30 million light years away from us. Scientists call this the X-shaped core at the center of the Whirlpool Galaxy. And it's a striking image, isn't it? That 30 million light years away from us is this. Now you can see in that whatever you want, and you can call it whatever you'd like. But perhaps the heavens do indeed proclaim the glory of God. Night after night, day after day, they send you the message that God loves you and God wants to have a relationship with you forever. So tonight when you look at the sky, remember that the God who created it created you. And remember that this God wants to have a relationship with you forever. Let's pray. God, what an amazing world you have made. And that's just our world. This world in which we live that's perfect for human life. The angle to the sun, the distance from the sun, all of it is perfect to preserve and to create human life. These bodies that you've put us in are perfect for living on this planet and are amazing in their complexity. We don't even understand the human body, much less the mysteries of this universe. God, you're so far above us, beyond us. Your power is so great. And yet, you kneel down to us like a parent would to a child, and you love us. God, help us to run to you, to long for you. Help us to find our way home. Through Christ we pray. Amen.